in Acts, the life of the church. How does the church really live? And then in John's Gospel, the Lord's instructions about that. So we have this wonderful story. Just think of the restraint, the love that these people had working this thing out. I mean, I've often thought to myself, I don't know if there can ever be a democracy in a Semitic culture, because everybody hangs on to their opinion and they'll die for it, you know. It's not like around here, we can make nice compromises and we go on. So these fellows who went up to Antioch and said, unless you're circumcised and keep the whole law of Moses, you're not a Christian. You can't be saved. And what a mess. So how did they solve it? See, they got together. And we've heard in the days previous to this, Paul and Barnabas said what happened. We preached and the Holy Spirit came on these people. And their holiness of life. And it's clear they have the Spirit, just as we do. And they're not keeping all the Mosaic, especially dietary laws. Now you have to remember that these dietary laws are not just like us, you know what I mean? We go to Giant and buy something in a plastic container and come home and eat it. See, this is all linked with idolatry. The meat is sacrificed to idols. And you know all that. Paul discusses it in Corinthians, right? So there's a lot going on here. What did they finally decide? They finally decided on what's called the Noachic laws. How were people keeping the law before the law was given? They had the Noah laws, you see, the Noachic laws, which are, as you just heard, abstain from meat sacrificed to idols. Clear, right? That's idolatry. We go into a grocery store, well, this was sacrificed to Zeus. Well, it's all right. How much does it cost? I mean, like, it didn't mean anything to us. Well, first place, it does. When you transfer something from one allegiance to another, you put it under Satan's power. That's that. So from the beginning, you see, there had to be laws governing. How could Jews ever relate at all to pagans unless they gave up this meat sacrificed to idols from blood, which is part also of sacrificial ceremony. And some cultures do that, you know. The Semites have kind of a horror of blood in a way. When I lived in Jerusalem, we'd get a knock at the door every once in a while. Somebody would say, my mother is dying. Can you come and give blood at the hospital? I'd say, yeah, sure, but why don't you don't give blood? It's your mother. Well, I'm a Muslim. I can't give blood. I can't pour out blood. But I can pour out mine. You know, that's okay. But, you see. And so forth, you see. Dietary laws. And the last one, unlawful marriage. Marriage, you know, Joe meets Helen. They fall in love. They get married, the priest blesses it, they go live in an apartment, they have a bunch of kids. Real simple for us. Huh? Not there. You see? The best way to keep the wealth in the family is to marry your own cousin. And that's what they're talking about. Pornia. You see? Unlawful marriage. Marriage. Yeah, you fall in love, you have kids, but the whole point is keep the money in the family. And I thought you might be interested in that. So that what they did was they take those from the Jewish tradition, they took these Noachic laws, they're called, the laws of Noah, and said, this everybody has to agree on. Staying away from meals that are tainted by idol worship and marriages within an unlawful bond. All right. That's an example of love. Sit down, work it out, send a meeting, send a letter to the brothers, send somebody else along. Why? Well, everybody knows where Paul and Barnabas stand. So they go back with a letter, and the guys could say, oh, you wrote that on your way up here. I mean, like, how do we know they're saying that in Jerusalem? No TV, remember? And so send along another well-esteemed man who can say, no, this is what we decided. Why? Courtesy. You know, make it easier on the fellas who lost the argument to come along and not just impose it. If they get much louder, maybe we could ask them to be quiet. Okay, now, about this text. The reason I did all that was, oh, I know all this about love. I mean, we hear it all the time. Let's stop and think. This is Jesus among us, teaching us. This is the Lord, you know? And he says, I've got one commandment for you. Love one another. That's my commandment. And he goes on to describe that. Well, now, how are we ever going to get to know what love is? We have to see it in action. Right? I mean, really meditate on that. See, love is always a going out of self to the other. Always. And therefore, letting go of some kind of control, some kind of comfort, some kind of, to go out to the other. That's the Trinity, isn't it? When we say God is love, what do we mean? He's a big, warm, fuzzy? You know, what does it mean? It means that within God, there is this infinite fire of self-gift. That's what it is. And it's eternal. Now he says, that's what I want among you. Is it hard? Yeah. Why? Well, because we're sinners, we're stupid, we're self-centered, and we don't like to do stuff like this. But this is the way to freedom. This is the way to have Jesus Christ dwell in us. And he goes on to say, you see, I don't call you slaves anymore. First he says, you know, the greatest love is to lay down your life for your friends. Now, in the first letter, we already had this, remember? In this we know the love, that he laid down his life for us. So we too should lay down our lives for one another, remember? And then, if a man sees his brother in need and closes his heart to him, what's all this talk about love? He has no love. And then he ends up, see, let us love in truth, which means what? Love in such a way that the Father's love is revealed. Because truth is the revelation of the Father. Love in a way that reveals the Father. Our Lord has that same saying in Matthew, right? 5:16. Do your good works before others, so that they will see your good works and glorify your Father. So we have this light here. So greater love than this, you know, just lay down your life. Now, this is Jesus in the middle of the church, in the middle right now of this chapel, having just proclaimed his gospel. And what does he say? I've called you friends, because everything I heard from the Father, I've passed on to you. I haven't kept any secrets. Isn't that beautiful? That he loves us like that? I haven't kept any secrets at all. You know? And now that you, if you're listening to me, then I can appoint you to go out and bear fruit. And you know what that fruit will be like? When, like Moselle, one day you die, you just lie back and say, well, I have fruit. By the mercy of God, I have fruit that lasts. And then he ends the whole this whole section going back, look, I give you one commandment. Love each other. Love each other.